This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Glad you're with me today. We're going to talk a little bit of football today, a little bit about the Detroit Lions and their first exhibition game with our good friend from the Detroit Free Press, Dave Burkett. So let's bring in Dave. Dave, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Earl. How you doing?
Hey, doing okay. I saw a lot of that game. Didn't see the whole game, but I saw a lot of it. And I guess what do you see? Basically, is what's still troubling. I mean, the thing I saw was, you know, the running game still isn't there. I don't know what they're going to do about that. But what else did you see that's probably troubling you from that game?
Well, you know, I wrote it Sunday. I mean, I think they are who we thought they were to borrow the Denny Green line. You know, I mean, they're going to have a little bit of trouble running the ball this year because we still don't have any idea what Mikel Oshur is. He's been out for, you know, his entire career so far, basically, and Jabbar Best dealing with the concussion issues. And then defensively, you know, their back end is just not that good right now. You know, I think they have there's a little bit of promise at cornerback. Bill Bentley looks like he's going to be a player before too long, but, you know, he dropped a pick the other day. He had a rough day of practice today. Coaches got on him a little bit. And then the safety position, there's just a bunch of injuries that they're dealing with right now.
So basically, they're talking the same way we've been talking all year long, isn't it? They just got the same troubles, and I guess we just have to wait and see if they can pick up some people that can help them out there that are on the waiver wire. Maybe they can pick up somebody that can give the Lions a little help.
Yeah, I don't even know about that, Earl. I don't think there's a lot out there right now. I mean, guys that are going to be able to be difference makers. You know, I think, you know, we obviously have the microscope to the Lions, but you look across the league, every team has its own sort of issues. I mean, even the Packers, who we hold up is kind of the standard for the division right now. I mean, you know, they still have some questions on defense, and they're dealing with some injuries right now, concussions to Greg Jennings and Marshall Newhouse. But, you know, the Lions, look, as long as Stafford and Calvin Johnson are healthy, they should be able to compete with anyone, but they might have to win some games 35-31 again, too.
Okay. Hey, well, let me throw you this question. It's a little bit differently. Who do you think, after that first game, should be cut?
Oh, man, I can't answer that at all. I think it's way too early for that. You know, there's obviously a bunch of guys at the back end of the roster, some of the undrafted rookies and things like that, you know, don't have a great shot of making the team. But, you know, I think right now with 90 guys in camp, you know, a lot of these guys are bodies to help, you know, guys like Calvin Johnson, who sat out today, a little bit of at least he had tape on his finger. You know, Lions say it's not really related to any sort of finger injury. And if this were a game, we'd keep you playing. But when you have this many guys in camp, you can let guys like Calvin and some of your other, you know, important guys take some time off this time of year.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, because, you know, I guess that is an odd question, but, you know, it's hard to tell after just one game, basically, isn't it? You probably know in general, because you see them every day, which guys are probably going to be there at the end or what the battle is. What do you say is the battle for the areas right now that are being contested where, you know, some guys should be, might be making it, but they've got a heated battle there?
Yeah, I think you're probably looking at, you know, five spots. The back end of the roster that are up for grabs, and you know it'll come down to just numbers and maybe a little bit of health and what the Lions want to do. I mean, punter, you know, that's a toss up right now between Ryan Donahue and Ben Graham. But number wise, it's do the Lions, are they going to keep, you know, 10 defensive linemen, 7 linebackers, you know, 10 defensive backs? Just kind of how those numbers play out. 3 quarterbacks. You know, I think right now you're probably looking at 2 quarterbacks, but Martin Mayhew said last year he'd prefer 3. So if they want to keep 3, then you're going to have to go shorthanded somewhere else. You know, I know there's been some talk about do the Lions keep 5 or 6 receivers, and so, you know, if you're going to keep 3 quarterbacks, you can probably only keep 5 receivers, and you know, you're not going to have LeSure the first 2 games of the season. Do you want to fill that extra spot with another running back, even though you know he's coming back in week 3, or you just want to take your chances and maybe add an extra defensive player somewhere. So that's kind of what you're looking at right now, and those are the internal discussions that they're having, and really the next 2 weeks will help shake things out.
Is that the one thing about football? I mean, because of the salary cap, you're going to have to make some cuts. You know, usually you're going to cut somebody who's pretty decent, unless you want to put them on injured reserve or something like that. But that's the problem now with the NFL, because, you know, everybody's going to have to cut somebody who's pretty good, aren't they?
Well, you know, that Lions had to make those decisions early on in the spring, you know, whether they were going to restructure a lot of deals and try to sign a big name cornerback for help, whether they're going to kind of stay status quo. And that's obviously what they decided to do. I mean, I think, you know, right now the Lions are in a decent enough cap situation. They're about $3 million under the cap. And, you know, there's just, like I said, there's not a lot of guys out there. You got to have a little bit of room in case you need to make a move during the year and for whatever, you know, injuries crop up. But I think the Lions, you know, by and large are, you know, they are what they are cap wise right now.
Yes, that's going to be a challenge that, you know, they'll have to try to keep, like you said, they're going to have to keep some money available just in case you have to make a deal or pick someone up. But that's the way football goes. How are they right now with the injury situation? Are they in pretty good shape right now?
You know, decent, Earl. I mean, nothing that's real long-term. They've had – LeSure has been out all camp basically with a hamstring injury, and that's a little bit of a concern because he didn't play last year with the Achilles, and because if he doesn't get back on the field here soon, he's not going to have any time to practice really before week one. I mean, you remember before he's eligible in week three, when he's suspended, he's got to be away from the team for the first 2 weeks of the year. So after those final cuts, he's not even allowed around the facility. But, you know, other than that, they've got – Kyle Vandenbosch has a little bit of a knee issue, and Sammy Hill's been dealing with some back spasms, so those guys have been out about a week. Safety position is a mess right now. Lewis Delmas, knee surgery, he's going to miss the whole preseason. Should be back around week one of the regular season. You know, I think those are probably the biggest issues. And then at wide receiver, I mentioned Kelvin sitting out today, and that's not a huge deal. But, you know, Ryan Broyles hasn't practiced a whole lot recently. And I think that's because of, you know, the surgery that he had last year. And the Lions weren't expecting a lot from him right off the bat. They can take it slowly with him, but it's still not a good sign that Broyles has been out basically all of camp, too.
Are the Lions at all concerned about Lewis Delmas and that, you know, he's had a lot of injuries over his career, as you know, that he might just might not be able to make it back just because of, he might be just basically an injury-prone guy because he's always been hurt since he's been here?
Well, I think that's a fair label right now. I mean, he's, you know, he has missed at least one game every year that he's played. And, you know, it's obviously only three seasons so far, but, you know, he's dealt with this knee injury, obviously, last year or this year. And last year he had his right knee was hurt, his other knee was hurt. So he's a guy it's a physical position. He's a guy that's been banged up a lot, and they really need him to stay healthy if they're going to be able to reach their potential defensively, because he's so important to what they do in that back end.
Oh, yes, he is. And how did that other cornerback do that was drafted? I mean, he was a third overall pick. How did he do in the game overall?
Bill Bentley, the third
rounder? Bill Bentley, yeah.
Yeah, no, he had a real good game. I mean, you know, I know Schwartz said he was a little too inconsistent for his liking. He got beat deep on one pass early against one of the Browns, you know, little speedy receivers out there, and he dropped the pick after that. But he also had an interception. But to me, he's got real good instincts. He's got pretty good ball skills. You know, he's going to be a player in the league. He's going to go through some rough patches, though, too, especially when you're playing against Aaron Rodgers and Jay Cutler. And, you know, like I said, he had a rough practice today. Coaches got on him a couple times. I think there's definitely some things that need to be ironed out, but he should be a starter week one for the Lions.
Okay. One thing I noticed with all the, you know, as we say, the league is such a quarterback league now with all the passing going on, and, of course, with all the outstanding receivers in the league, and they're basically giving almost carte blanche to get open. What do you see with these quarterbacks? All did you see, for example, Jay Cutler? How did he look? We know that's a pretty good division with Cutler and Rodgers and Stafford. Now that's three of your premier quarterbacks. You know, that's in the league. But if Cutler is healthy and ready, because he was hurt at the end of the year last year, that could be a very, very dangerous position or position in the league.
Yeah, I think when you look at the NFC North, I mean, that's really why, you know, you look at the real distinct possibility that three teams make the playoffs this year, because obviously Aaron Rodgers, at least in my mind, is the best quarterback in the game right now. You know, Stafford here with the Lions, just 24 years old and as talented as anyone. And then Jay Cutler, I mean, he got hurt last year, but he showed some toughness. And really, you know, the Bears have done a lot to make sure that they're going to be around, you know, adding Jason Campbell as a backup just in case something happens to Cutler. They still have Forte. They added Brandon Marshall. So I think, when it comes playoff time this year, I think you're going to be looking at the Packers and at least one of these other teams from the North in the playoffs, either the Lions or the Bears.
Do you see maybe the Lions might not win? They might make the playoffs, but they might not win 10 games this year.
Well, you know, I think they might need to win 10 to make the playoffs. You know, actually, Tony Ortiz, Lions sideline reporter, and I were talking about that today, and you know, he said that he thinks a 9-7 team is going to get in, and I might lean more towards a 10-6 team being left out. I just think the NFC is so deep. You know, the East, you have the Giants, obviously the defending champs, the Eagles, the Cowboys. Those teams could all make the playoffs. You know, in the South, you know, you got the Saints, the Falcons, both playoff teams last year, and Tampa's going to be better. And Carolina's a pretty good team with Cam Newton, and then San Francisco out West. I know some people like Seattle. I'm not quite in that bandwagon right now. But, you know, I think there's some pretty good teams throughout the NFC, and I think there's going to be a pretty good team that gets left out this year.
Yes. Will the Vikings have any chance? Looks like Adrian Peterson is going to be back. He's already working out. What chance do the Vikings have at all? Because they don't have much of a quarterback, but, you know, they've got maybe the best running back, if he's healthy, in the NFC.
Yeah, no, I don't buy it early. Look, you're right. You know, Adrian Peterson's still a great player. Coming off the knee, we got to see exactly where he is, if he's back to 100%. But I just don't see it. With Christian Ponder at quarterback, with the strength of the division, I'd be stunned if the Vikings made a playoff run this year. I mean, you know, they still have a little bit of talent on defense with Jared Allen, and obviously they got that tackle, but I think you're still looking at them being, a year or two away, and that is if, Christian Ponder pans out.
Okay. Hey, we're talking with Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Hey, Dave, when we look at the Green Bay, how do you see them? I mean, they drafted defensive line because they need to get better up front defensively. I know that on paper, it looks like this should be a lot better defense than it was last year, doesn't it?
Yeah, and like I said, I think you can put the microscope to any team and see that there's some holes there, and Green Bay would definitely be defensively. I mean, they had one of the worst defenses in the league last year. Yeah. when it came to yards allowed. But what they did last year real well was create turnovers, and they're going to have to do that again this year. You know, they can do that with Charles Woodson. They need to get a little bit better of a pass rush, and that's what you alluded to. They spent a lot of draft picks on that defensive front. Jarrell Worthy from Michigan State, one of the guys that they're counting on big things from this year. So if they can get that, defense patched up a little bit, you know, it's a team that, to me, is still the favorite to come out of the NFC.
Okay. I think we got one caller for you, and we'll do that. We got Mr. Tate on the line. Mr. Tate, how you doing?
Doing well. I guess I had a question. It appeared last year that Jim Harbaugh and the 49ers were the first to really key in on the Lions' hyperactive defensive rush with the front line, and just delayed and countered and screen passed their way, you know, and then had a last minute win with them, and then other teams followed suit. So is that, is that a function of trying to teach these guys to be a little bit more aware? Or is Cunningham trying to, upgrade science, you know, trying to get those guys behind those four to maybe stay at home a little bit better? Because it seemed like the whole defense over-pursued so many times, and that caused some real problems as the season went on. I'll hang up and listen to the answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, no, I think that's a valid point. You know, you saw San Francisco do that a little bit, Atlanta do that a little bit. There were some teams that's how they attacked the Lions on the ground last year. And you know, really, that's who the Lions are. You know, I think up front, Ndamukong Suh got caught with that a little bit last year. And I think maybe it comes down to a little bit on the defensive line's end, just recognizing play-wise what's coming and maybe making sure you're on that in the film room. But you're right about the linebackers. Just – a lot of the run responsibilities in the Lions defense falls on that back seven. And, you know, the Lions have basically the same cast that they had from last year back. So, you know, it's just going to be incumbent upon Tulloch and Durant and Levy and whoever the safeties are to make plays and to recognize that right off the bat to make sure they don't get hit with some of those big gainers.
Okay. Hey, David, I want to thank you for being with me. As you know, it's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. We'll be talking during the season. It's going to be a long season. Hopefully the Lions can stay healthy, because if they can't, boy, it could turn into a long, long season.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that at all. I mean, but like I said, look, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but as long as Stafford and Calvin are healthy, they got the shot to be in any game. And if they make the playoffs, they got a chance to make some noise. So should be a fun one, too.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dave. Hey, we'll talk to you later, buddy. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Just talking with Dave from Kalamazoo in the last call. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
When news breaks, first you want to hear the story, then you want to talk about it. I'm Lynn Neary. Talk of the Nation provides you with the latest news and analysis and a chance to share your experiences. For intelligent discussion about the day's happenings, join us on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for joining us today. A chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon with a high around 80 degrees. Showers and a lingering chance of storms tonight, a low near 60. Then for Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms until midday, then becoming partly sunny in the afternoon, a bit cooler, a high in the mid-70s, and mostly sunny on Wednesday, a high around 80.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to be chatting with Rico Beard in a little bit, but right now we'll talk a little bit with Aaron over there and talk with him. And I wanted to tell Aaron, if you haven't read it yet, Aaron, this is a good question. Would you let Tyrann Mathieu back? LSU is considering bringing him back after they let him go Friday. He said that he wants to go back to LSU, and he's willing to set out a year and work on it, work on his maturity and do everything he needs to do and come back and play his senior year and just set out a year. And he was very sincere when he said it. So did you see that? And if you have, what do you think your thoughts on if LSU lets him back in, they'll give him another chance?
Well, I mean, I guess first, just so our listeners know, what were the reasonings they let him go?
He failed too many drug tests.
Okay. Well, you know what? Is this his first offense, sort of, I guess, right?
I guess, that has been answered, or that it was, speaking about. So, in a way, technically, you could see he's failed drug tests they never announced, but this is the first one they've announced, and they're letting him go after several failed offenses. They won't say how many, of course, but it's clear it's more than one offense.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of players out there that are probably just as good as him. So, you know what? If they want to, they can. But if I'm in their shoes, I wouldn't. Frankly, you know, how many times have we seen it where players get a second chance and then they just screw up again? Frankly, because I kind of put certain guys, I'm not saying he's in this pool, but I think there's a certain pool of guys that they know if they can just get in the NFL and get that paycheck, then they're good. And that's what they're going for. They don't care about the game. I'm not saying he's in that pool, but I kind of feel like this is where it's going, where he wants that second chance. He wants that chance again. Then he knows he can get an NFL, and then he gets his big payday. So I wouldn't give him a chance. You know what? If he was sincere, maybe they need to like check him into a rehab center, or something like that. He needs help, obviously. So if he's willing to get some help, then yes, I would give him a chance, but I got a feeling It's probably not going to be the case, so I would not let him back, you know, not let him back on the team.
Okay. Well, at least he said he wanted to help and he wanted to finish his career because he's already, he has an option. His option is to transfer to McNeese State. He's went there already and had an interview there, so he could transfer to McNeese State, but he says he wants to really wants to go back and finish his career where he started at LSU. I'm like you, I'm not sure whether that would be good or not, but I believed in his sincerity that he seemed that he really wants to finish what he started and that he's willing to clean up his act. And if he's willing to clean up his act, maybe they should give him another chance. I don't know, but, you know, he says he's willing to clean up his act, and I guess that's all we can go on for now. He says he's willing to clean up his act, and maybe that'll be good enough for LSU.
Yeah, I mean, if that's good enough for them, I mean, that's, you know, I understand college football, you know, it's more than just about football. It's about life and teaching lessons and those kind of things. But, you know, if they're willing to give him a chance to, you know, learn from his mistakes, we all make them. I mean, I guess more power to him.
Yep. Hey, well, I've got to talk golf with you. As you know, the PGA just finished, and Roy McIlroy had an outstanding tournament. Tiger flamed again in the last major of the year. It's going to be, what, two or three years in a row now. He hasn't won a major. I think it's 3 years now. And so what do you look at it? He's been flaming out. He's got the best score in golf for the first 2 days, Thursday and Friday. But he's got the worst score in golf, the stats they pointed out, for the Saturday and Sunday over the year.
Yeah, you know, I think he's improving. He said that he felt too relaxed on Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was just an excuse. He said he needed to focus more. But, you know, I still think I'm kind of in the pool where those 2 years, you know, his personal life issues, you know, basically had 2 years off. And for him to take 2 years off in a sport that you dominated and have to come back, I mean, it's going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah,
you know, I think his swing is good. I think he's got that down, you know, just minor tweaks here and there. I think it's the mental game that he really needs to focus on. So I think next year he's going to be even better. I mean, he's got 3 wins this year. That's nothing to, you know. That's good.
Yeah, that's
you know, I don't know where, you know, Rory stands after this weekend in money rankings, but I believe Tiger still might be first. So, you know, and Tiger's ranked, I believe, third in the world. So that's nothing to, you know, scratch about. So, I mean, that's, you know, I think he's going to improve on coming into next year. They still got the Ryder Cup this year. So, you know, and I think he's playing a tournament overseas in the fall sometime too. So, you know, if he does well there and in the Ryder Cup, you know, he should have a good 2013 season. Rory, you know, wow, he just dominated this field.
He did.
He played amazing golf. So, you know, good for him. And he's 23, so he's one of the youngest people to win the PGA Championship. So, if he continues to play like he did on, you know, this weekend, man, we might see a lot more wins from him as well.
Well, being a non-golfer, I got to ask you this question. I've never seen Tiger Woods miss so many short putts. I mean, four-foot putts and like that, 5 and 6. I mean, what's happened? Has he lost how to read putts or something? Because he misses a lot of short putts.
Yeah, you know what? Part of it, I think, goes back to taking 2 years off. I think there's I was out on the course this weekend, yesterday, actually, and there's so many elements to a game that as a non-golfer, even as a golfer, someone that's just starting off, I'm not good by any means. I won't tell anyone my score. It'd be quite embarrassing. But, you know, there's so many elements to the game. I think, you know, the mental game, sure, there's a mental game, but below the mental game is there's a lot of sort of subcategories of that mental game. So, you know, the putting, he's just going to have to practice that. I think that's going to be a big thing in the offseason that he's going to have to practice on that. It'll come around because we know he can do it.
Okay, well, I hope so because he's suffered putting, that's for sure, and maybe he can come back and get it going there. So that's the thing with him, and you know, his putting has got to get better. If he does that, then he'll be okay. Well, hey, I guess we have our guest now. Let's bring in our good friend Rico Beard. Rico, how you doing, buddy?
Earl, I don't know. It must be something with you and my phone, man.
Yeah, you seemed to, you told me you were going to leave it on and sound like it was off again.
Man, I'm like, okay, what happened here? So, at least this time I was able to catch the
sooner. So,
yeah.
What's going on, Earl?
Hey, well, let's talk about your Tigers and your Lions. The Tigers, they haven't been winning lately. You know, do you think they're in danger of missing the playoffs? Or do you still think they're going to? I still think they.
You know what, Earl? Here's what I'll say is, right now, they're still in control of their own destiny. Mm-hmm. If they're still at 2.5, 3.5 games behind the White Sox come September, now you're going to do a lot of scoreboard watching. Now you're no longer in you control your own destiny. The last two series against New York and against Texas, to me, were playoff series because those are the two teams that you could possibly see in the playoffs. And when they split with the Yankees, they let a game get away because they had one, but they just kind of they blew it. And then in Texas, it's just disappointment. The pitching staff is really they've been exactly what I thought. I mean, people were so ready to crown them champions, and when they signed a Prince Fielder,
yeah,
I reminded everybody, Earl, that. You know, they haven't improved their pitching staff. They have one proven commodity, and everybody else is, uncertain. And I said, now, if Verlander has a bad year or a mediocre year, mm-hmm. now you're in trouble. And right now, he hasn't come out and been Verlander-like every game.
Yeah.
He's around a .500 record. He's pitching good, but he's not pitching great. Not consistent, but not, between Porcello and Scherzer, you're just not getting that solid performance. It's you're flipping a coin when they're going out there, and with the bullpen not coming through either. If they don't make a move now, Earl, if they're not tied up or at least within one game of Chicago, I think that it's not going to look good for them.
Yeah, because it certainly looks bleak, getting bleak, that is. I still believe, though, they're going to win their division. I mean, when you look, they've got they finished the season with Kansas City and Minnesota for the last 9 games. If they can't dominate and win all those games, they might not. But it's hard to believe that they can finish the season against those two teams and still not make the playoffs. So I'm still hanging in there with them that they're going to make the playoffs this year.
All right. Yeah, well, I am too, but as the days progress, you're still in your own you control your own destiny in August. Yeah. When September rolls around and you're 4 games behind, now you have to win and you need someone else to lose at the same time.
Oh, that's true. Hey, have you read the information today on Tyrann Mathieu and how he wants to go back to LSU? I was just reading. He says he wants to go back to LSU and he wants to finish his career there. He says he right now the option is still available that he can transfer to McNeese State, but he says he wants to go at LSU. They've got the good counseling people there that they can help him out. And do you think that since he wants to go back that they'll let him back?
In a
they
word,
should.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. If I'm LSU, this ship sailed. I guess over the weekend, he realized that the mistake that he made, but there was really no remorse from when it first happened until, I guess, recently.
Yeah.
He didn't care. If I'm LSU, what's different now? What will be different this time? He's going to have to sit out an entire year. He was ready to leave to go pro. I think that his whole focus is he's ready to go pro. That means
he's willing to pay. He's willing if they let him back. He's willing to pay the salary a year.
what that sounds good. What he's found out is it's cold out there, Earl.
It's cold out there.
Yes, yes. And he went and he figured that everybody was going to be lined up to pick him up, and he found out his phone wasn't ringing. He wasn't as hot as he thought because a 3-time drug offender.
Yeah.
If I'm LSU, it sounds nice for him to come back. No. What's going to be different this time? Same environment, except for now you got nothing but time on your hands for a year. Mm-hmm. So, no. If I'm LSU, I pass. I let it go. Thank you. No. If you want to come back and finish your degree later, you can. But as far as being a member of this football team, no. I'm good.
Okay. What about your Lions? What did you think about them after Friday night?
I think that Bentley shows that he belongs on this team. At the corner position, I think he will I think he's going to solidify that spot and show that he was worth the third round pick. Whereas people were doubting him when he was first drafted. Other than that, that was the only positive I got. Bentley at the corner position. You still are going to have to get a running game. You're probably going to have to go after a running back later on in this offseason. I don't think the job at best is coming back, period. I think that his concussion problem is going to keep him away. Kevin Smith and Stephon Logan, you're not going too far relying on those two. No offense to him. Kellen Moore showed me that he was a great college football quarterback, and that's about it. A great college football quarterback. The finesse passes that he threw at Boise State are not going to fly. I don't think that he's going to be on the Lions team when this is done. But it's the first game. You don't really gauge a lot out of it. I'll know more come game three when the starters get in there and play. Stafford can't, and Calvin Johnson. What is Calvin Johnson going to show you that he hasn't already showed you?
Yeah.
But everybody else, it's hard to gauge after the first, because most of the people who are going to play in the game one aren't going to make the team anyway.
Are you concerned at all about Louis Delmas? And you know, he's been injury prone for his years there with the Lions. Are you concerned that he'll be okay and he'll be able to? Because I don't think he's played through a whole season. What, the last couple of years, has he?
Yeah, he has not, and that's a great point. Though I am very concerned. I don't think that I'm concerned. I think that Delmas not going to play. I mean, I know the Lions are trying to downplay it and say, oh, this is the media, he's going to be back. I don't think so. I don't think he's going to be ready in time for the regular season. And they're going to have to probably find a safe someplace to come in there and take over that spot. I don't see him coming back healthy, and he has been injury prone. I'd like for them to address that. You know, Ryan Broyles pick at number two, when I scratched my head, you took a wide receiver when you have so many other things that you could have addressed. And you're right, I think safety is going to be a position that they're going to wish that they could have addressed it. And they have to slap a Band-Aid on that, or running back, or hope that a veteran safety gets cut. Because, you know, when it comes roster cut down, you may catch a deal where at least if you can get somebody for 1 year, at least until you can draft their replacement. And I think they're hoping for that for running back and for safety.
Yeah, because they'll be looking closely at the waiver wire when you get down to those last week and those last cuts. Now, I was talking with Burkett, and he was saying how him and our boy Tony Ortiz were talking about the playoffs. So I asked him, does he think the Lions have to win 10 games to make the playoffs? He said him and Tony disagreed on that. One said 10, one said 9. Where do you think the Lions have to do to make the playoffs this year? Do they have to win 10 a game, or can they get in, say, with 9 or less, or 9 or 8 possibly?
If you want to feel comfortable, you got to at least have double digits. You have to win 10. 9, you're going to need a lot of help. 9, you're going to need a lot of help. And you're going to own a lot of tiebreakers over other teams. You want to feel comfortable, you're going to need at least 10. Putting on my hat and looking into the future, Green Bay is going to probably win the division. You're battling with the Chicagos of the world. You're going to be battling with, you know, the Giants and Cowboys, you know, for those last NFC spots, the wild card spots. So you want to win at least 10, because if not, yeah, it's gonna be tight. You're gonna need a lot of tiebreakers over other people, and I don't think you want to go down that route if you're Detroit, because now you're sweating it out. You're sweating it out. 9 wins. I'm thinking that to guarantee yourself a spot, you need at least 10.
So basically, you're saying that they're going to have to win probably like they did last year, a lot of 35 to 30 games, 35 to 31, or 35 to 32. They may have to score that many points to win games this year.
Exactly. It's exactly what I see, because you are, whereas other teams could say, hey, we can win our division, unless something happens to Aaron Rodgers, you're not winning the North. The North is going to go to Green Bay. So you're going to be battling everybody else for those wild card spots, is what you're looking at, for the 2 wild card spots. And you don't want to, 9-7 means that you better hope that everybody else had a bad year. You better hope that they had a very bad year. Unfortunately, you play in a competitive division. If you played in the NFC West, then, you know, maybe. But now with Harbaugh and the 49ers, I look for them to really step up their game. So, yeah, you're going to have to win at least 10. And you're going to need your defense to maybe hold some people out. Either that, or you're going to have to win shootouts. You're going to have to win shootouts. And, you know, and you got to hope that the Madden curse doesn't happen this year and nothing happens to Calvin.
Yeah. Hey, okay. Hey, can you stay for a couple more minutes? I got a couple more questions for you. Can you stay for a few more minutes?
I can hold on, Earl.
Okay. Hey, stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
One night, David Randall woke himself up howling in pain. His sleepwalking had sent him straight into a wall. But compared to some sleepers who drive cars and even murder without waking, his night was pretty pedestrian. I'm Lynn Neary. David Randall on his book Dreamland, Adventures in the Strange Science of Sleep. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
For the rest of this afternoon, look for a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high around 80 degrees. Showers and a chance of storms continuing tonight, a low near 60. Showers and thunderstorms are possible on Tuesday until midday and then becoming partly sunny by afternoon. Highs in the mid-70s, mostly sunny Wednesday, a high around 80.
And we're talking with Rico Beard from Fox Sports. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, Rico, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the Olympics as well, because we didn't get a chance to talk about that very much. Very exciting games, ended strongly. I wasn't surprised at all that the men won. They won a little bit closer than what we thought it would be, basically. But I just see it as the rest of the world is catching up. Do you think the rest of the world is catching up in basketball? Because it certainly seems that is. The women's basketball, they still continue, and they're putting out a very strong team. But it looked like they're catching up on the men's side.
Yeah, I think for the men, because the other teams are consisted of NBA players, and yeah, mm-hmm. they are catching up. It would be interesting, Earl, to see what would happen if it went back to the way it was, where professionals could not play, because I don't think that the games would be as tight. If you use the college players here,
you're right,
and use non-professionals on other teams, I think that you wouldn't see that gap. But right now, because the NBA has gone so international that, yeah, you're looking at a lot of people with NBA experience playing on other teams in other countries. So at that point, it does seem like the gap is closed, but it may be a little artificial. It may be a little artificial. I would like to see what would happen when it's just the regular, you know, non-professional college-age athlete going up against the other college-age athletes or just non-professionals. That's what I want to see. I mean, the Dream Team, the original Dream Team, went up against mostly amateurs when they destroyed people. With a handful of professionals in the league. Now, I mean, it's, you know, both rosters are kind of a who's who of the NBA. So, yeah, it, you know, and it also should tell you, the LeBron and those guys, you may want to watch out what you say when you say, hey, we're better than the original Dream Team. Even though they played lesser competition, no one got close to them. The best competition that the Dream Team ever had was in practice. Yep. That was it.
That's true. Hey, now, what about when we look at that and those players and we say that about them? Now, I had a question today. Someone asked me this morning about the Dream Team and this team and how good this basketball is. And is David Stern the problem of it, because it made the game such an international game that now everyone's probably going to, I think everyone is going to be catching up in years because it's turned into such an international game and so many of the American coaches are going overseas to coach and they're certainly helping, making the other players better overseas. Do you see that? Maybe is David Stern wanting to, you know, make it such an international game and make more money for the NBA? Is that going to be a big problem?
Oh, I don't think it's going to be a problem, but I think that's David Stern's dream, is to make the NBA global. Mm-hmm. In a perfect world, he would have a professional team in Europe that would play in the NBA, and teams would have to make their flight over to Europe. At least, you know, he would like to have at least maybe 2 to 4 teams that are in Europe in the current NBA. He wants to spread this thing globally. I'm quite sure he wouldn't mind having a team in China either.
Yeah,
that's been his goal from day one, and he is seeing that by the elevated play from other countries. If the problem is just logistically flying, I mean, could you imagine if the Pistons had a road trip where they had to go to France and then go play a game in China?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just brutal.
Yeah.
On the players. I mean, it sounds good when they have to fly over here, but eventually you're going to have to return that trip. You're going to have to fly and play games in France and in England. I mean, they're playing a game over there now, and unfortunately, England will have to be forced to watch the Pistons play. Good thing for us, we don't have to go to the Palace and cover them because it's not a good team right now, but they have that exhibition game. Well, not an exhibition game, but a real game that will be taking place in England. But, yeah, his thing is about getting the exposure and showing the NBA off to the world. And, yeah, in a better economy, he would really try and pull off a couple of foreign teams and add them to the NBA. So, you know, I look for that to happen. I think he'll probably have to maybe go and, get a Dominican team or a Jamaican team or maybe even a Mexican team first before you can really get a team and travel all the way over to Europe, where the flights wouldn't be that bad if you had a team from Mexico City. But, you know, like as I stated, flying all the way over to Paris, well, that's a whole different story than flying down to Mexico City.
Yep. Hey, Rico, I want to thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And, you know, I'll have you back on. We'll be talking more. We'll be talking next time we have you back. We'll talk more college football because college football, as you know, right around the corner.
All right, Earl. It was a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
Yep. Okay.
Bye-bye. And that's Rico Beard talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Spread it around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR East Lansing. Well, when you talk about college football, Aaron, it's a couple of weeks away. It doesn't seem like it's that far away, does it? Today is the 13th. We're 2 weeks away just about from the first game, Michigan State's first game, and They had a scrimmage the other day. They said their scrimmage went well. And so, and they say they got most of their offense in, so that's looking good for Michigan State. But, boy, it just sort of seems like it's getting here real, real fast.
Yeah, it'll be here, and then it'll be over before we know it because it's so fun and goes by so fast because, you know, every day seems like there's something new to talk about. Just not with Michigan State, with Michigan, the Big Ten, and then, you know, the entire NCAA football team. So, yeah, it's going to be here before we know it, but then it's going to be gone before we know it, but then the next season is going to be here. So it's just a rotation of football year-round.
Yes, it is. And I tell you, when you look at this team they got this year, it looks like it's really going to be a good team, especially defensively. I mean, it looks like it's going to be a solid defensive team. They're going to have a good running game. The passing game is going to probably take a while to develop. That looks like that'll be a developing progress. So that should come around eventually. Hard to say when, but it looks like the passing game is going to be a work in progress.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's any surprise. I think we've talked about it before. The passing game, the QB, he hasn't really been a starter before. So, he's got some work to do, but, he's got the right people around him and obviously learned under Cousins. So Maxwell should be fine, I think. Same thing with the receivers defensively, assuming that most of the people stay healthy. They should be fine. They should be one of the better defenses, frankly, in the entire league. So shouldn't be a problem. And, the running game should be fine. Special teams is usually pretty good with them as well. So looking good. Just cross your fingers, hope everyone stays healthy.
And that's the main thing about football, is the health issue. Hey, that's one thing I wanted to discuss with you and the audience, and hopefully we'll get some feedback. If not today, we'll get some feedback tomorrow. But one thing concerns me with sports in general is that the injury factor, whether it's football, whether you look at gymnastics or any of those sports, you look at all the injuries to perform, in those sports, especially in a gymnastics sport like gymnastics, you got to get out there and hurt and perform when you're hurt. Do you think we put too much pressure on young people, and especially in sports like gymnastics and even football, that they've got to play, and a lot of times they have to play with injuries? I mean, I've heard football coaches say it all the time. You can't, if you can't play hurt, if you can't play with an injury or hurt, it's hard for you to get on the field.
Yeah, no, I think we are putting too much pressure on kids, although I think we're I kind of feel like in the last couple of years we're starting to recognize that maybe society is, putting too much pressure on that. How many stories have you read, have I read, have the listeners read that, when these players get older, how many problems arise when they get into their 40s, their 50s? How many problems they, arise because of the past of so much strain on your body when you were injured? I understand it's the factor for these, a lot of it is in the money, but even when you're young, in high school or middle school, I'm not saying that everywhere you go, the coaches are going to say those things, though. You got to play through, injuries, but the reality is it happens a lot more than what you probably think because you're not sitting there. The parents aren't sitting there at the practices, so you don't really know what goes behind the scenes. And as we've discussed before, players don't want to come out of the game, so they're not going to tell the coach that they're, and that's, of course, they're in major pain. They'll probably take themselves out where they, if they can't perform. But, some minor injuries sometimes, I mean, I've heard doctors say minor injuries, you may not see it now, and it may not affect you now. 20, 30 years down the road, that's when it hits you, I think in the last couple of years, I think society has done a better job of recognizing that, to bring attention to those minor injuries. I still don't think we're even remotely close to where it needs to be. But that's sort of a culture change that, frankly, is going to take quite a few years.
Yeah, that's going to take a long time.
And it's going to take research, and it's going to take people who are, sort of doctors, people who understand these sort of injuries, better than you or I will ever understand. But and then, it's going to take stories of people saying, hey, I was injured when I was younger, and now look at where I'm at. This happened to me down the road. But sometimes we've seen in the past, too, you still hear those stories, but then it still continues on because, frankly, people don't care. They want to play, and they want to get their money, and they want to have fun. So, you know, it's a culture change that I think is going to take a long time to change.
Yeah. Well, hey, there's one culture that's trying to change. Terrell Pryor, the former Ohio State quarterback, he's playing with the Oakland Raiders now, and he's going to see some significant action tonight. So watch that game tonight if you get a chance to. Oakland is playing tonight in their exhibition game against Dallas. And he say he only got one snap last year, just one snap for the Raiders. So he's going to get a significant amount of snaps this year. So it'll be interesting to see if he's improved at all, that he'll be playing a lot tonight, or probably get a lot of the second hats. He's backing up Carson Palmer and Matt Leinart. So we probably won't see him till like third and fourth quarter, I'm assuming.
I'm sorry, Terrell who? I mean, you know, he's trying. He's behind guys that, frankly, I mean, he's going to get some action tonight, but preseason, that's his season right there. Unless someone gets injured, he's going to be sitting on the bench the entire season. So, but, you know, I think he's the kind of quarterback you look at and you can say, yeah, he has a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he's in a situation where, the only kind of potential he can really get is in preseason. And as most people know, if you're a third-string quarterback, it's – yeah, sure, you're going to get playing time in the preseason, but it doesn't mean anything, really. It doesn't really help your game, per se. But, unless he does something to really, really stand out, unfortunately, none of this is really going to mean much.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you or say. I mean, he hasn't played in a year, for over a year. Don't you think he could have improved pretty good? I mean, he was getting better at the college level. Do you think now with a year in the pros and a year of pro coaching that he might be able to beat out a Matt Leinart or get to the second string spot possibly?
Possibly. I mean, I'm sure he's improved quite a bit. You know, he's probably learned the game a lot more, a lot of the fundamental differences between the college game and the pro game. But, Matt Leinart, he's been there before. So, and Carson Palmer obviously is a veteran almost. So, he would have to do a lot to impress the coaches. Obviously he's a more mobile quarterback. He's going to have to do all phases to impress the coaching staff. And then he's going to have some luck too. Leinart is probably going to have to get injured, for that to happen. If Palmer gets injured, well, then you know, that's a whole different ball game. So as long as he keeps trying, keeps working hard, you never know.
Okay. I got to tell you, I'm halfway through that book, Spygate. I must admit, I'm very impressed with it. All that cheating that New England did, I'm not sure they're still not cheating, but I'm impressed with the book. It's a very good book. I'll try to give it to you once I get done. I'm just at the halfway part, so it's still going. But I have to tell you, that's a very good book. Spygate, on the New England Patriots. Yeah, I recommend anybody to go out there and get it because it's fascinating. You can't put it down. I mean, it reads that well. I mean, he got so much stuff in there on the Patriots and the people behind the scenes and his best friend. He's still in, works with Belichick. So I can't wait till I get done with it. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you for calling, and want you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. I want to thank you all for listening, and thank you all for calling, and come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. You've been listening to radio station WKAR in East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. We want you to come back and join us tomorrow. We want you to have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and I look to hearing from you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
From NPR News.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.